great to be here this morning, and particularly, you know, to have Rosie here, and looking forward to that moment when we're going to baptize you. I've already done two burials this week, and been glad to release to the Lord those that he's called home. And they fulfilled their works of service, and it's wonderful to come on Sunday and have another burial as Rosie goes into the water, dies with Christ, is buried with Christ, and comes alive with Christ to fulfill all that God has prepared in advance for her to do. So I'm excited this morning, Rosie, predominantly for that reason, but I'm also excited because, you know, I know that my God is full of surprises. And that thrills me. And sometimes he catches me on the hop. And we're in a series that we started at the beginning of the year that you will know is Sensing Our Saviour. And I was praying about today and thinking about how, you know, we can reflect some of the truth that we've been thinking about, particularly in light of your baptism. And I was trying to get a handle on what the Lord wanted me to say, and he surprised me with the verse that he gave me, because I think it's a wonderful verse. I'm going to speak on it in a minute. But just as I was saying, thank you, Lord, for giving me that, I had a phone call from my son, and my son surprised me. He said, Dad, he said, are you sitting down? I said, I am sitting down. I said, why? He said, because you're going to become a granddad for the sixth time. Well, that was a shock. We have long got rid of all the baby stuff. So I'm always excited to come and, you know, look to the Lord in expectancy for what he wants to do and what he wants to say. Because God forbid that we ever become complacent with the things of grace that he's blessed us with. Isn't that true? I think that's greatly true. And so I hope that this morning all of us, Rosie is being baptized, those of us who've come in good heart, even those of us who perhaps have come and we're not certain of the way and we're unsure about even being in church and the way that we feel this morning, you know, I pray that God will surprise you as you sense what it is he wants to say to your hearts this morning. Now, I knew that my physics teacher was a real fan of mine, because whenever at school I was trying to adapt an experiment that he'd asked us to do, and I put the emphasis on the word adapt, he would spot it, and he would pop over, and he'd let me know, in his words, that I was a real piece of work. And I would always say, well, thank you very much, sir, because I was far too young to grasp sarcasm at the time and far too stupid to think that he was anything but pleased with me. But of course, I have now grown to understand, mainly, I have to say, from irate motorists and also antagonistic adversaries, that being called a real piece of work is far from complimentary. Isn't that true? And some of you have lived in the blessing of that, haven't you? And so as we're here this morning to be sensing our Saviour and to do what he would have us to do, as Rosie Martin is today by being coming to follow him as we've sung and be baptised, then believe it or not, I want you to know this morning that from God's heart to your heart, you are a real piece of work. But he doesn't mean it in a derogatory put down. He means it in a congratulatory uplift for each and every one of us of his own creative ability to make a masterpiece out of our lives and of his great grace as he blesses us with a mission for all that he plans for us to do. And so here are the words that I want to focus on this morning as we get a sense of how that unpacks in our lives and we let the Lord come and surprise us with so many different things. For we are a real piece of work. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so to kind of understand the power that is there for us to be all that God wants us to do and become. Remember, it's set in the context of our theme verse for the whole year, that it's the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, who is living in us, that enables us and equips us to be, if I can put it this way this morning, an exhibit of God's work through our lives. Exhibiting in the Spirit would fit beautifully in the series that we're in. So just as people perhaps look at my son and to his complete horror see me, so too everyone who confesses Christ as Lord ought to be able to be noticed as those people for their joy who reflect the goodness and grace of God in their lives. And it ought to be obvious. Don't you think so? That's why later on in Ephesians, Paul says to the church, be imitators of God, therefore. And you can only do it this way, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. For when you know the love of God in Christ Jesus, you can show the love of God in Christ Jesus, because in Christ Jesus, you are a child of God, and children by their very nature imitate their parents, don't they? It's beautiful for mums and dads to see, not so good always for the children to recognize. And we might call it exhibiting in the Spirit to fit in with our series, because we are a real piece of work from God and it needs to be displayed. I mean, after all, did a poet ever write a poem not to be shared? No. Did a song ever get composed never to be sung? No. Did a painting ever get painted not to be seen? Of course not. Did a play ever get produced not to be aired? No. That's why Rosie is coming to be baptized this morning, to put on a show as to a real piece of God's work that she is in the Lord Jesus Christ, to display not herself, but the measure of God's ability and the message of his grace. And I say to you all, you know, if God's got a plan for her life, which he has, he's got a plan for yours. Isn't that brilliant? That if God can bring to her the gift of salvation, which he has, he can bring it to you. And if God has promised to bless her obedience, then why not ours? Because in baptism, we're not giving testimony to our own best efforts. We're displaying God's best effort for us in the sending and sacrificing and suffering of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be right in his sight. And I think that's a great encouragement. Rosie's not here to live God's life for me. Rosie's here to live God's life for her. She's not here to live God's life for her mum and dad or her sister or her friends or for you in the congregation. God's got something unique and original as his masterpiece marked out for her. But equally, he's got it for you, because you, my friend, are a real piece of work. And if I didn't think it would offend anybody, I'd ask you to turn to the person next to you and tell them that. But you understand, don't you? A real piece of work. And here's the thought to treasure. If you remember nothing else, we like to have our thought to treasure. Very simple this week. And it's this. We are an original masterpiece made to be put on display. Amen. Amen. We sometimes don't always get up in the morning and look like we're an original masterpiece, do we? When we look at ourselves in the bathroom mirror. But we've got to look through that mirror and see the very heart that God's given us and the very purpose and plans that God has for us. What a great word that is in the Greek, workmanship. It means masterpiece. It means we're priceless. We've got great significance. The actual word in the Greek is poema, from which we get the English word poem. It's beautiful. But whether you see yourself as a poem of the Lord, or a sculpture of the Lord, or a symphony for the Lord, or a song for the Lord, or a painting for the Lord, as long as you're all in with the Lord, you're going to reflect the work that he's done in your life and exhibit in the Spirit the very character and graces of the God that you represent. And how do we do that? Well, just let me underline three quick things from the text. And the first is this. I want you to notice the power behind the work. For we are God's workmanship. We're not self-made people. We are God's workmanship. And it's not what we do that saves us, it's what He has done. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I think that's lovely. We're a real piece of work because we're God's piece of work. I may be the poem, but folks, He is the poet. I may be the portrait, but He is the artist. I may be the song, but He is the composer. I may be potty, but He is the potter. I don't think it came out quite right, but you know what I mean. You see, just as without Michelangelo, for instance, there would be nothing on the Sistine Chapel ceiling worth looking at, so too, without God, without Jesus, without His dying on the cross and rising from the dead, we'd all be stuck in the inner ugliness of our sin. Nothing to look at whatsoever. Something that Paul's been at pains as he comes to this verse in Ephesians chapter 2 to point out that we are the masterpiece of His grace. It's not what we deserve, it's what He gives. I'm sure that you all know, don't you, that for 5 years in the early 1500s, Michelangelo lay on his back and painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Rome that depicts the creation of man and the fall of man and the judgment of man, a lot of other biblical scenes. It is epic. And yet, in that work of Michelangelo, I see a picture of what God has done for us in Christ Himself. For very soon after Michelangelo had finished his masterpiece, very few remembered what the original frescoes actually looked like, because a film of grime had collected on the surface of them, on the ceiling, that clouded and obscured the brilliance of what he had done. In other words, the image was still there, but it was marred, and it was much less than he had intended it and painted it to be. So in 1936, when the artist and restorer Biagio Baghetti came along and said, looking at the ceiling of the chapel, "We can see the colours, but only as if through a smoked glass," he started some restoration himself on it. But it wasn't until 1981, over 400 years after Michelangelo first painted it, that two modern-day restoration experts were able to develop a solution that, carefully applied, brought back the brilliance to the work of Michelangelo. And it actually took twice as long to restore the paintings as it did to create them in the first place. And no one imagined that beneath that grime, beneath that filth, on them lay such a masterpiece of colour and design and brilliance. And so as the critics came and the art connoisseurs looked, they all recognised that now, for the first time in a long time, the artwork revealed the artist. Isn't that beautiful? From looking at what he had done, they could see who Michelangelo was. We are God's masterpiece. But the brilliance of God is so often clouded by the film of filth in our own lives and the ugliness of some of the things that we do. And yet in Christ, He comes to deal with it. And we're made over anew. So when we look at the life of somebody like Rosie, we look at the life of those who have been changed by God's grace, we can see from the exhibit what a wonderful artist God is. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So in the first place, there it is clouded. And in the second instance, there it is unclouded. I think it's a beautiful picture for us of what God has done and created in Christ. And that's why Rosie's being baptized, to reveal the masterpiece that she is in the Lord. It's not that baptism saves her or cleanses her or restores her. Only Jesus can do that. Baptism simply displays and exhibits the work of salvation that God has already done in her heart. He is the power behind the work. He is the grace behind the girl. He is the God behind the gift. For it is by grace through faith that we have been saved. Why? So that no man may boast. God does for us what we could never do for ourselves. And we're a real piece of work when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, who creates us new in Him. In that marvelous God's workmanship created in Christ. And you know, it's an interesting thing as I thought about that and the power behind the work. That actually, if you came along and you looked at a painting like that and you did look up, I mean, I think it's a brilliant work of art, and you know, others of you may not agree, but if you actually looked at that painting, you looked at that work of art, and you know, you say, oh, I don't like it. What are you insulting? Are you insulting the painting? No, you're not. You're insulting the painter, aren't you? And some of you, you know, you're down on yourself. All you can see is the filth, because that's what the enemy wants you to see. All you can see is the mess-ups. All you can see is the wrong. All you can see is the sin. All you can see is the less of what you'd love to be, when you know God intends much more for you. But you know, if you continually look at yourself in that way, you're not insulting the painting. You're insulting the Lord. He's got great purpose for you. He's not here to put you down. He didn't come into the world to condemn you. You already stood condemned. He came to save you, to lift you up, be a means and a trophy and a masterpiece of His grace. And some, you know, some people I meet, and some you will know, you're so down on themselves. They think they are so worthless. They can't understand and appreciate the price that God paid for them in Jesus to make them a real piece of work. Amen? Amen. The second thing I want to point out this morning is not just the power behind the work, but also I want you to notice the purpose beyond the work. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What? To sit back and enjoy the scenery. Well, there's times that we can do that. To do good works. Do you see that? The purpose beyond the work. We're not saved by good works, as I say, but we are saved for good works. We do not work in order to be saved. We work because we are saved. Works are not the consequences of our salvation. Works are the consequences of our salvation, not the causes for it. Big difference. And we need to have a heart that wants to do what God wants us to do for Him. It's a bit like having seen the lightning flash across the sky. We've all seen the lightning flash across the sky. And the moment we see that, then we live in expectancy of hearing the thunder that is quickly to follow. Isn't that true? And when we've trusted ourselves to the finished work of Jesus Christ, we ought to live in the expectancy of being prepared and ready to do good works for Him. Isn't that a great privilege? It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege, the purpose beyond the work, to exhibit in our lives the ministry and heart of the Holy Spirit. That's what God purposes. I don't know if any of you have been watching the new painting show on BBC One on Sunday nights. You're probably still in prayer by that time. But some of you may have done. And last week, we recorded it, and I was watching it, and one of the artists was asked by the presenters as to what they were trying to achieve in the painting that they were painting. And they said, and I quote, because I made a note of it, "I don't know, I just paint it and see how it ends up." Well, I think if I didn't know that, by looking at how it ended up, I think I could have figured it out. But God, to the contrary, has a purpose beyond the work of salvation that He does in our lives, and that is to use us to be a blessing through the good works that we do in the lives of other people. Because what's on the inside has always got to come out on the outside. That's why we recognize the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. So the work of the Holy Spirit, the heart of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the care of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous nature of the Holy Spirit, it's got to come out of those in whom he is living. Isn't that right? And when it does, boy, what a surprise it can be. Some people look at Christians and they see lives that are different, and all they simply conclude is that they've changed their lives to become a follower of Jesus, where the reality is that to become a follower of Jesus, their lives have begun to change because of him. It's not a matter of pulling your socks up. It's a matter of being all in with Jesus Christ and letting him work through you. If only the exhibition that we put on for the Lord in the Spirit, in our home, in our work, in our community, on the field of play, were as faithful, holy, and loving as he himself is. Don't you think that's true? Please, Lord, make me holy. Why? Because you're holy. Lord, make me just. Why? Because you're fair. Lord, make me merciful because Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Lord, help me to love other people because by my love for other people, others are going to recognize that I truly love you. Most people read us a lot more than they read the Bible. Isn't that true? They see us, they watch us, whereas they only can hear about Jesus Christ. An artwork reflects the attributes of the artist. And I ask myself, what do people see in me? Most people know about the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what about the gospel according to us at work on a Monday? What about the gospel according to us when we're stuck in that long queue? What about the gospel according to us who go to church every week, but we can't see past what we would prefer to the needs that are around us? What about the gospel according to us when we go online or we go out for an evening's entertainment? Are we exhibiting the life of the Holy Spirit in us? Are we pointing as a painting those around us to the painter? When we do our good works, people ought to give praise and glory to the Lord, because God's attributes should be the very brushstrokes of our lives. If we are in Christ, as I believe we are, a real piece of work. And you know, those good works that we do are not just for a moment. They should be part of our everyday experience. To do good works here means to walk about in them. That's the meaning of the word do. Do good works. Good works should be the shoes we put on to walk through life. Not just an occasional act, but a new orientation for our life. Now, they don't have to be extraordinary, do they, to be a good work? They can be quite ordinary, but if they're done for the glory of God, they can still bring about extraordinary things in the lives of other people. Can you get something more ordinary than buying a sandwich for a homeless person, making a phone call to a lonely person, sending a letter of encouragement to a dispirited soul, bringing a friend to a service once in a while, being available to help now and again, setting aside a little extra time to pray? You know, the list can go on because the opportunities are endless, but God's purpose beyond his work is being realized when his people, who are a real piece of work in Christ, just get on and do those good works for him. Who doesn't know that way back in 1934, a teenage boy went to a Christian rally held by a minister called Mordecai Ham. Now there's a name and a half. I mean, you're never going to forget that, are you? If that was your pastor, Mordecai Ham. This one boy, 16 years of age, went into that meeting. It was so full he couldn't get a seat anywhere. So he wasn't that keen to be there in the first place. So he turned himself around and was just about to leave the tent where the rally was being held. And an usher came down from the back and said, "Son, look, you have my seat. I don't mind standing on the outside." That boy heard the message that Mordecai Ham brought that day, and the Lord made a real piece of work out of him. You know what he was called? Billy Graham. Now, that's a massive thing to do, isn't it? Give up your seat. Hey? Well, I've sat in this seat ever since I've come to this church. Give up your seat. You never know who might sit in that seat instead of you one day and turn things around for the good of many other people in terms of their eternal destiny. It's only a small thing, but then Jesus said, if we give a cup of water in his name, that reward is never going to be lost to us. You know, good works are not necessarily the greatest works that we can think of, but they're the works that we can do, no matter how small, that can have a huge impact on the lives of others so they can recognize in us that from God we're a real piece of work. So take note of the simplest things. And then I've got one other thing to say as we close this morning and come to that point of baptism. In recognizing, I hope, you know, not in a put-down way, but that you are a real piece of work. Thank God for it. Yeah, there's power behind the work. There's purpose beyond the work. But as I reflected on this and looked at the final phrase, I saw the pleasure too beneath the work. Whoops. Did I go back? Is that the one? The pleasure beneath the work. Because these works that we're created in Christ Jesus to do, what does Paul say? They are prepared in advance for us to do. And this just kind of blows my mind. It's not just that God has good works for us to do, but that these good works lie in the very path that he's called us to follow. It's not a huge thing. Sometimes we can try and make out of this more than is there. But simply as we follow the Lord faithfully, that it's the cry of our heart to follow him. We follow the Lord obediently and in holiness and in faith, expecting great things from the Lord. Then lying in the very path of the direction that he's led us into, we'll find those good works to do. I don't want you to go home this morning and, you know, and kind of burn yourself out trying to think, what good work has God got for me to do this week? I can't afford to miss it. You turn the whole thing into a burden. No, the pleasure is beneath the work. That we're right there in the path that God has chosen for us to do and have the very ministry that God has called us to do. That's why Rosie's here to be baptized this morning. Why? Because in the path of God for her, she happened to go to Sheffield University. She happened to meet some lovely friends. She tells me you're lovely friends. I don't know you, but I'm taking her at her word. It's great to have you here. She happened to get fully connected to the CU and get along to a particular church up there. And now, in the path of doing all that God wanted her to do and being obedient along that path, she's here to be baptized as a good work unto the Lord, because in her life, as she goes through the waters of baptism, she pictures for us on the outside what God has done in her heart on the inside. Isn't that a marvelous thing? You know, see, you never know what's round the corner, do you? You know? Sometimes the very things that upset us the most are the things that God is using us to keep us on the path to do the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. Sometimes the ministry that we're going to have tomorrow will come through an interruption that we really didn't want to have. And we can miss it if we're not sensing the Savior and we don't realize what a wonderful piece of work we are in the Lord. Some of those people that annoy us the most are the very people that God wants us to get alongside and be the greatest blessing to. Isn't that right? So those right at the top of your prayer list. I don't know how you do your prayer list, but the people that annoy me the most are always right at the top of my prayer list. So I hope none of you ever get a copy of it. But I tell you for why. It's not because I don't like them, not because I've got anything against them, but I want to protect myself from having any unforgiveness in my heart towards them and anything but the love of Christ for them. I need to bring that to the Lord. But it's often those people that I know the Lord helps me to be a good work for and a real blessing to. And maybe that's the same in your life. I think some of you saw that already, but you know, somebody sent it through to me on Facebook. Do you ever have a plan for the day and suddenly it's 5 p.m. and you've achieved literally nothing? Well, sometimes, you know, if you haven't got to the end of the day and achieved what you want to achieve, maybe the Lord has done more through you in his purposes than you might have realized. So be encouraged. Sometimes our plans have to be abandoned to get to where the Lord would use us most. Sometimes, Rosie, we have to leave home to find ourselves most at home in the Lord. And that's a great thought, isn't it? I think so. That's the pleasure beneath the work, that God's got a blueprint for our lives. And if I can steal from a well-known advertising slogan, God's will, don't leave home without it. Amen? You're a masterpiece, a real piece of work. Now, I finish with this, and I hope it encourages you. We all know that there's a famous building that stands just outside San Antonio, Texas, in America. And you know what it's called, don't you? It's called the Alamo. It's called the Alamo, and it's the fort here from where Texan revolutionaries fought for freedom from Mexico back in March 1836. That battle was eventually lost, but the courage of the men who died inspired others to come and seek and secure that very freedom. And some of you will know, because I shared it with one or two of you, that there's inside the wall of the church there many portraits of people who died at the Alamo. And there's one particular one that's got this inscription written on it, which is really interesting. It says this: James Butler Bonham, no picture of him exists. Okay, so see that picture of James Butler Bonham? That's not him, because it doesn't exist. This portrait is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembled his uncle. It is placed here by the family that people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. Now, folks, there's no portrait of the physical representation of Jesus Christ. I know you can go into different Sunday school rooms and you might think that he's blonde-haired and blue-eyed, but he's not. He's not. But you and I in Christ are a real piece of God's work. And when people look at us, and when people watch us, and when people hear us, and when people play with us, or whatever they want to do with us, there ought to be a sense in which they get a true picture and a true representation of the Lord who loves us and gave himself for us. Don't you think? Don't you think? Most of us would never go out of our house unless we looked ready to go out of our house. Well, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for you to do. So whenever you go out knowing that when people are with you and look at you, they need to see that from God's perspective, you're a real piece of work. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We know it's a verse that some of us have heard many times, but it's good to be reminded of what you've done to make us possible. It's good to be challenged, Lord, to think about what we do that best represents you. And so our prayer this morning, first of all, is for Rosie, that as she comes to be baptized, that, Lord, as we hear her testimony and feel for her as she shares her story, Lord, we know that we're going to hear from you and we know that we're going to see you. But we pray that our story will be as obvious and as positive and as challenging to those that know us too, day by day, in the workforce and in the community. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that is not in your purpose for them, for their life, help them to discover grace. Help them to come, Lord, however unworthy they feel, and to know that in Christ you make them worthy. Help them to come however filthy they may feel, and to know in Christ there's not a sin that you can't clean and cleanse from. And Lord, for those of us who do know and love you, make it the cry of our heart to want to follow you. And may we not only appreciate the work that you've done in our lives, but help us to be grateful for the work that we know you've done in other people's lives that make them such a masterpiece too. For we ask it and we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.